Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau's first cruise ship of the year, the MS Eurodam, arrived this afternoon. It marks the kickoff of the 2026 cruise ship season. Juneau is expected to see about 1.7 million passengers arriving on ships between now and October 6th, when the season ends. Sarah Wong was one of more than 2,000 passengers on the MS Eurodam who walked off the ship and onto the Juneau Seawalk this afternoon. She's visiting from San Diego and says it's her first time taking a cruise to Alaska. She says she's stoked to finally check Juneau and the Menonhall Glacier off the bucket list. And she's grateful to the community.
Thank you for hosting the ships. I know that's not always a good thing, but we are very, very grateful that we're able to come in. And hopefully it generates some income for the town, too.
City officials say this cruise season should feel much steadier than previous years. It's the first year that Juneau is implementing a cap on the number of daily passengers that come off cruise ships. 16,000 people on most days and 12,000 people on Saturdays, limits that were negotiated with the cruise lines. In previous seasons, Juneau could see up to 21,000 visitors on its busiest days. City officials say the goal of the cap is to provide some stability to residents while both curbing future growth and protecting local businesses that rely on the industry, though some residents think it's all for show. Joe Wolfenstein is a sales representative for Alaska Tour Sales and was selling tours on the Seawalk on Monday afternoon. She says she's worked in the industry in Juneau for nearly two decades, and she's supportive of the negotiated cap and what it will mean for residents and the environment.
I wholeheartedly believe in the compromise of preserving our city, our livelihood, and making sure there's a happy medium. So if it means that I make a little bit less money, I'm okay with that. Like, I want to take care of my town and my surroundings and what makes it so beautiful here.
The Menonhall Glacier Visitor Center is also starting the season off with a more reliable schedule than last year. It will be open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Those are slightly reduced hours compared to 2 years ago before the Trump administration cut thousands of federal jobs across the nation. But it's an improvement over last year's season, which was tangled with uncertainty after federal job cuts left the visitor center with minimal staff. The visitor center at the Glacier is Juneau's most visited tourist attraction. Six more ships are scheduled to arrive this week as the season gradually picks up. By next week, that number will double. The company proposing the new Amalga gold mine in Juneau announced on Thursday that it plans to build its ore barge dock at Cascade Point, regardless of whether the state moves forward with its controversial ferry terminal at the same location. The company also provided more detailed mining plans, including how the operation could affect jobs and recreation in the area. KTOO's Alex Solomon reports.
There's still no timeline for when the new Amalga gold mine could open in Juneau. But Grand Portage Resources, the Canadian company proposing it, has released more information about how it plans to operate. Graham Neal is a spokesperson for Grand Portage. At a Juneau Chamber of Commerce luncheon, he told dozens of local business representatives that a barge dock for the new Amalga mine won't depend on the state's proposed Cascade Point ferry terminal.
It's completely separate from the Alaska Marine Highway ferry terminal.
The first phase of that ferry terminal project was originally slated for construction this summer, but was postponed when a federal agency asked the state to submit design plans for the second phase, too. The proposed terminal has drawn widespread opposition from community members who have said it would benefit mining companies and inconvenience ferry passengers. Neal says the only piece of shared infrastructure at the site would be an access road from the end of Glacier Highway to the barge dock.
To access this facility, we would need a road, so if ultimately, you know, Department of Transportation Public Facilities doesn't build a road, Grand Portage would look at doing it themselves.
According to its preliminary economic assessment published this month, Grand Portage plans to haul truckloads of ore about 20 miles to the Cascade Point barge dock and ship it somewhere overseas for processing. Neal says that would allow the mine to restrict its footprint in Juneau. Since the material would be barged out, he says there wouldn't be processing facilities or tailing storage in town. The company expects to run about 72 trucks from the mine to the barge dock per day. Neal says the company would hold off on trucking during warm weather weekends and holidays to limit traffic noise.
Especially in the summer on weekends, significant events, 4th of July, grad weekend, something like that, when there's going to be a lot of anticipated traffic on the road.
Mining operations would cut through forests and wetlands in a popular hiking area near the Herbert Glacier, Eagle Glacier, and Windfall Lake trails. The company is seeking approval from the state to build a 1.3-mile-long road between Herbert River and Eagle River this summer. Neal says this would be the first segment of road that would eventually intersect Herbert Glacier Trail, cross the Herbert River to a materials handling area, and then extend to a portal with a tunnel to the mine site near the face of Herbert Glacier, pending approval. Grand Portage is preparing to apply for fast federal permitting. Neal says the company estimates the mine will supply Juneau with more than 270 jobs. At the luncheon, Juneau resident Drew Green said he's involved in tourism and mining, and that both are important for providing jobs and taxes that sustain the city's economy.
I see this as a critical necessity for Juneau to survive. This is a sustainability of Juneau project.
The preliminary economic assessment projects an initial mine lifespan of 7 years, with a total of about 1 million ounces of gold. Neil says the company expects to turn a profit after about a year of production. Tyler Breen is an environmental policy analyst at Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. Following the luncheon, he says the development should get a hard look and that it's important to protect other economic drivers in the area.
Our concerns are, ultimately impacts to watersheds, salmon, the cascading impacts that has on related industries like tourism, like fisheries.
This year, Grand Portage plans to do more drilling to gather data for mine development, install meteorological and stream monitoring equipment, and conduct baseline environmental surveys to support its permit applications. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And Petersburg's local tribe unveiled and blessed its new killer whale canoe earlier this month. And as KFSK's Olivia Rose reports, over 100 people gathered to see the community's first canoe in a century.
The traditional blessing of a new canoe is happening at Sandy Beach, a place with petroglyphs and wooden remains from fish traps a few thousand years old, evidential ties to Thlinkit history. 11 polers just paddled this canoe for its first time on the water, arriving at the beach for the ceremony. While the canoe is blessed with sage and cedar, tribal members wearing regalia are dancing and drumming near its long bow, honoring it with the local tribe as the killer whale canoe is brought to life.
This is a momentous day.
Will Ware speaks to the large gathering over a microphone.
If you don't know, this is the first time we've had one of our canoes brought out of Petersburg in anybody's kind of memory that we know of. And so this is a pretty important historical moment for us. And we're just glad that you're here to honor it with us.
The white fiberglass canoe is nearly 40 feet long. It has red and black Chilkat faces painted down its center and a large formline killer whale design on both ends.
And so the name of this canoe is Keet Yaak. Keet Yaak. Keet Yaak. Yaak literally translates out into canoe. Keet is the killer whale. And so Petersburg, we have our first Thlinkit canoe in well over 100 years, and it is now and forever known as Keet Yaak. If you could say it out loud to help bring it to life, Keet Yaak. Keet Yaak.
Traditional canoes Keet like this one Yaak typically belong to a single clan, but Petersburg's local tribe decided to have this canoe designed to include everyone.
It has a crest that doesn't belong to any one particular clan, but is relatively generic, yet unique to Sitka, to Petersburg. And so for that, we're very grateful.
A few traditional customs happen for this canoe's blessing. Bread is tossed in the sea as a symbolic gesture, honoring and thanking the killer whales. Ware asks the killer whales, as guardians, to keep this canoe and its polars safe when they paddle it to Juneau for the celebration festival this summer. Then Ware invites everyone to sing a couple songs of the Dukloidi, a Thlinkit clan in Southeast Alaska with a killer whale crest. Several of the canoe's polers come forward and dance, arms moving in a rowing motion, knees bent, and lined up in front of the shore.
Thank you for joining us.
After a number of songs, dances, and speeches, the ceremony is followed by food and fellowship. People get a closer look at the canoe and mingle over cups of boiled fish soup. Billy Ware is the eldest of Ware's sons. He was a poler at the front of the canoe.
It's just amazing to see this canoe in Petersburg for the first time in 100 years. And to do it with our family and everybody, it's just amazing. And I mean, there's a huge turnout here today too. What was it like coming into this cove, into Sandy Beach, and seeing all these people waiting for you?
Oh man, it gave you goosebumps. As soon as you came around that corner, you could see, like, there's been a village here for who knows how long, maybe thousands of years, until recently it diminished. But coming in here, it really felt like we were bringing the culture back alive in Petersburg. And it warms my heart. It really does.
At the end of May, a group of several canoes from around Southeast Alaska will meet in Petersburg to paddle together to Juneau, camping and visiting villages along the way. It's a tradition known as journey. While the local tribe says that launching the canoe journey from Petersburg is another significant milestone for the community, the killer whale canoe needs about a dozen polers to paddle it to Juneau. Victoria Moore and her son Alex are two of just several polers signed up so far.
I'm Victoria Moore. My Kalinga name is Guchpa, and I'm so excited to be on this journey.
She says it was fun to be paddling out on the water to Sandy Beach, building camaraderie and sharing stories with the group. She also says it felt natural and emotional.
For me, it's still emotional. It's like, wow, just to be a part of something that hasn't been done in so long, you know, so it's exciting to be a part of it, you know, to honor our ancestors. I mean, for me, it's a personal journey too. So to bring this back and to be able to make this journey that's going to come up and going to Celebration and be a part of that, it's going to be incredible.
Celebration starts June 3rd. At the end of the day, and after enjoying some soup, dozens of people help carry the canoe out from the beach and load it up on its trailer. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, this afternoon it's currently cloudy and about 50 degrees. The low tonight is 39. Tomorrow it looks like we may get a little bit of rain starting in the afternoon. Wednesday looks rainy, but by Friday it looks like it could be clear again with a high of 50 degrees. This is KTOO.